comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this gorgeous planet, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you chose to be here, and I appreciate it. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. Well, we had the Alternative Universe Eye Conference over the weekend, and it was great. Those of you who missed it, well, I'm sorry. It was $10 for all five presentations. We have another one coming up in June. But let me say this. If you missed the Alternative Universe Eye Conference, you can still enjoy it. It will cost you $50. We do it different than all the other conferences. The other conferences charge you all that money up front, and then you got hotels and travel expenses, you know, plane tickets and hotel rooms and all that stuff, and then they'll sell it to you for $25 on a DVD. Well, ours is different. We bring it to you live. It's $10. Be smart enough to jump in there and get it. But if you're not, or if you were not able to, it is still available. It is $50 to get it later. Later costs. Stop procrastinating. You don't have time to do that. You're too busy to do it today. Put it off till tomorrow. All right. Here's the deal. We have something called K-Files. Now, K-Files is our free weekly newsletter, and we've been publishing that now for 12 years, going on 13 years now. We have people still with us, still subscribed, that subscribed 13 years ago, 12 years ago, when we first started putting it out. We've just started producing our 13th year of broadcast. Interesting, our 13th year is in 2012. Well, that ought to be interesting. If you're not subscribed, get subscribed to the K-Files. Go over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And click where it says K-Files and subscribe. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to, but you won't do that. We have something called the members community here at the Kevin Smith Show, and we talk about it a lot. You might be wondering, well, just who are the members? What, you know, who are the members community? Plain and simple, they are the people paying for you to listen tonight. They are the people who make this show happen. And we need you to be one of those people. We need you to start helping us to survive. If you like the show, and obviously you do, you're here. You either like the show or you're one of the spooks tuned in because you were assigned to. One or the other. But if you like the show and you're not one of the spooks, well, even if you're one of the spooks, if you like the show, and I bet you do, I bet there's not one single spook listening to the show that doesn't like it. Join and help support the show and help us stay on the air. Help us continue. It's only $7.50 a month. That's 25 cents a day. You can make the difference in whether we're here tomorrow night. We will be back right after this. That's a great song, isn't it? I thought you'd enjoy that. You know who that is? That's Mick Jagger. And I forget the guy's first name. His last name is Tosh. And great song. And great philosophy. We're going to walk and don't look back. There's a guy named Lot that should have taught that to his wife. Anyway, but, you know, she was pretty salty character. All right, so here's the deal, folks. My guest this evening is Marshall Masters. Now, there are things happening all over the world that are extremely important, but that the lamestream media, the mushroom media, refuses to report to you. We could go into all of, you know, why and all of that. And, you know, I think it's self-explanatory when we just say they're mushroom media. One of those things that's so important out there that they're not reporting to you is so critically urgent that it even has people like Dr. Michio Kaku criticizing the media for not reporting it to you. But then again, that is why you listen to this show. It's because you know that if it's within our genre, I'll report it, regardless. Why? Well, it's because of a very, very deep conviction that I have, that you have a right to know. Now, let me ask you before I bring Marshall Masters on, how many of you have ever watched a documentary on TV or a show, maybe just a segment of a newscast where they were talking with a doctor, and the doctor is talking about some particular form of cancer and how to prevent it? You ever seen that? Well, we see those kinds of things all the time, don't we? And whenever you get through watching that segment, it might scare you a little bit, especially if he says, whatever you do, don't eat this. And you find out you've been eating, you know, four times a day, you've been eating that. So it might scare you a little bit. But you don't walk away from that and say, well, that doctor was just doing fear-mongering. What you do is you sort of say, boy, I'm glad I found that out. I'll stop eating that. Well, here's a situation that is very similar. Tonight, Marshall Masters is going to be talking with us about some situations, and one in particular that we're going to focus on. And there are going to be people who are going to send me email and say, well, that's fear-mongering. I know, because it happens each and every time we do a show like this. And that's okay. If that's what you think, send it to me. I mean, that's fine. But, you know, you don't do that to a doctor who tells you how to avoid what's coming. If you keep eating this, you will get cancer. If you keep smoking those things, you will get cancer. Or high, depends on what it is you're smoking. So, you don't call the doctor a fear-mongerer. You sort of thank the doctor for warning you that this could happen. And that's kind of how we need to look at this tonight, because we're not doing fear-mongering here. That isn't what we want to do, and that isn't what we're going to do. And yet, some of what we're going to talk about is pretty scary stuff, because it is very real stuff. Okay? But if you know in advance, which because you listen to this show, you will know in advance. Because you know in advance, there are things you can do that perhaps will help you avoid any really severe consequences if this happens. Marshall Masters, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I am delighted you are with us.
Pleasure to be on again. Nice to be back.
Marshall, you've heard what I've just said about fear-mongering. I guess you probably get accused of being a fearmonger by some folks because you talk about some pretty dire things. How do you view it? Are you a fearmonger?
No. I'm just a catastrophism researcher, and I present my information, and I give people the opportunity to decide for themselves. It's an issue of what I call awareness. And, you know, the point is that people either want to be in awareness or not. You know, in terms of predictions, my number one rule of predictions is always keep them in mind, but don't live in expectation of them, because if you live in expectation of an outcome, you got a pair of blinders on. Doesn't matter what. But you want to be mindful of it. And I think that's the most important thing, so that you're prepared for whatever comes. And you know, there was a time in this country when people just naturally did that. You know, they'd have root cellars and do canning and set aside supplies, and they'd always have 6 months to a year worth of food that they could fall back on if hard times happened. Now we've got about 3 days, depending on what you can empty out of the refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I'm telling people is this is a threshold issues, and you have to decide whether or not there's a sufficient level of risk to do any level of preparation you feel is appropriate.
There are certain parts of the country where there are road signs that are up, and usually you only see them in the winter time because they can fold them up and close them, and mm-hmm. Then they drop them back down in the winter time and you can read them, and it says bridge may ice. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now if you see that they're not doing fear mongering, they're warning you that there are conditions ahead that there's a stretch of road ahead that under certain conditions you may experience ice there. And so what do we do? Well, some people slow down, mm-hmm. and some people don't. And the ones that don't, if there is ice there, they have a pretty good chance of crashing their car.
Yeah.
So if they do slow down, then they make it across the ice and everything's fine. And it's not fear-mongering. And folks, it's very important for you to grasp that concept here tonight. It's a road sign. It's a caution sign. And I do have something I'm going to ask you about later with reference mm-hmm. to the Mayan calendar. But
sure.
let's talk about something that the press, the mushroom press, the mushroom media are not talking about, and that is Fukushima.
Oh, well, I tell you. You know, that is the one thing I have studied through the years, and with if there's anything that gives me anxiety on some of the threat issues I see, is when you have a convergence of a natural and man-made catastrophe. Because now it just mushrooms like crazy. I mean, it takes something that would be 2 aspirin, turns it into a handful of OxyContin. I mean, it is just that much of a step up. Fukushima is that step up.
You mean Fukushima?
Yeah. I just call it Fukushima. I mean, I have other names for it, but I couldn't say it on the air.
We'll go with whatever you call it.
And so, but if I don't have the pronunciation correct,
that's all right.
Let me know. But what I'm really following is what's happening with the spent fuel containment in Reactor 4. And this is something, for those that are not following this guy's work, Arnie Gunderson at Fairwinds, they really should. I mean, this guy's real boots on the ground. He's hard science. He's doing a hell of an excellent job. His concern is actually the concern a catastrophism researcher would have, which again goes to this convergence of natural and man-made disaster. The containment fuel has all the exhausted fuel from all of the reactors, all right, at this site. And so if this thing crashes, you know, you have to keep in mind it's suspended up in the air, and the water levels in it are exceedingly low. They're basically, it's leaking like a sieve, and so they're just keeping it filled up. But if the piping, which is under a lot of stress, fails, or there's another quake, and I would say, you know, I've heard estimates from a 6.8 or 7.0 in the case of Arne Gundersen saying, but also it's going to depend on with the proximity, depth, duration, all the other factors. But if that plant gets slammed again and that spent fuel containment crashes, leaks out, it's going to catch fire, and it's just going to burn like a phosphorus fire. There's just, you know, they're not going to be able to put it out. It's going to burn off a huge amount of radiation. It'll turn the center area of Japan into a wasteland, a dead wasteland. It'll literally cut the country in half. But then all of that stuff is going to carry out. And right now, from what I gather in my research, is that TEPCO is underfunded in terms of dealing with the disaster. The Japanese government is tapped. I mean, this is not, and no one's stepping up for the TARP bailout. And, you know, I think it's something that the whole world really should be looking at, because it's going to affect everybody in the Northern Hemisphere if this happens.
It's already affecting all of the Northern Hemisphere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's already plant deformations being reported. Dandelions, you know, second or third generation dandelions that look like some kind of sick, twisted, bizarre plant you'd see in Star Trek or something.
Well, they're also, it's being reported that there are animal deformities as well in births of new animals in the North American territories.
That's right.
I read an article today that shows pictures of this black, really strange black soot in Tokyo, five times more radioactive than Chernobyl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's everywhere. It's pervasive. Gundersen went there, and he took soil samples in Tokyo. And he took them just off the street. One of the samples, he took off a child. A young child who'd been out on a playground was running in, and he took a sample of the dust that was just on the child's shoes. And took these three samples back to the United States, had them evaluated, and the radiation levels were so strong that the laboratory that performed the test had to send Gundersen's samples to Texas to be disposed of as nuclear waste. And Japanese kids are walking around in this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of insanity here, but the reason why we're not seeing, you know, and I'll tell you, I love hearing you rail against the lamestream media, because we really don't even have a media anymore, all right? What, we've got, after World War II, there were maybe 50 large media enterprises. Now there's a tenth of that. All these consolidations. So you've got a handful of incredibly powerful corporations that are controlling what people hear. There is no more competition in media. None. I don't see it anymore. And that's the reason why this is just so easy to suppress. You know, it's just, oh, gee, let's just not tell people. It'll get them upset. Maybe they will stop buying things, and that would be a catastrophe. Forget the fact that, you know, if this thing crocks over, because TEPCO is not going to fix it and get this thing done right, the Japanese government doesn't have the have the chutzpah to step up and do what's right. And the rest of the world is sitting there going, let's have a conference meeting about it. Okay? This thing goes. We're talking about a dead Pacific Ocean.
We may be talking about that anyway because it's leaking loads of radiation
yes.
into the Pacific Ocean now.
And on top of that, TEPCO mm-hmm. is dumping raw radiological waste directly into Tokyo Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're doing that so they can sidestep treaties, dumping treaties. So the whole thing over there, I mean, there's zip reporting on it. The media here is in blackout mode. Yeah, they're not going to do anything. They're not going to run a story unless they know the guys in marketing are for it.
Well, about
the old days of doing it, you know, doing really hard news, there's just, it's gone. Those days are gone.
About the only way you're going to get them to report on Fukushima is if Britney Spears or Lindsay Lohan happens to wind up at a photo op at Fukushima with no underwear.
Yeah.
Then it'll make CNN.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, you know, it's a sarcastic thing. And it's, there are these threats that we have to be worried about. And, yeah, I can understand why people are going to say this conversation we're having right now is fear-mongering because they're not hearing it in the quote-unquote official corporate media channels.
Well, let me quote, it's not actually a quote because I don't have it actually in front of me, but I will quote as faithfully as I can remember what Dr. Michio Kaku said in the article that I wrote, that I read today. He said, the reason the media is not reporting on this is because they've been told it's stable. And he said, and it's only stable because it's hanging on by its fingernails. And if a fingernail cracks, we're done.
That's it. I mean, I think Dr. Michio Kaku is awesome. I mean, this guy has always been out there on the leading edge and telling it like it is. I remember back in 2008, he was on Fox News. And he was warning about the coming solar maximum and that it could take out huge amounts of our grid, electrical grid. And this guy at Fox, news entertainers, that's what I call them. They're not news reporters anymore. They don't know how to do reporting.
Yeah, 15 seconds to break.
They just read whatever's on the prompter. But the news entertainer was just sloughing it off and saying, well, it was just Y2K. You know, millennium bug hysteria, and he laughed it off.
All right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, right after this. Listening to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is Kevin Smith. My guest this evening is Marshall Masters, and we are talking about, at this point, we're talking about Fukushima, the nuclear power plant in Japan that was so severely damaged by the tsunami that followed that massive earthquake that the tsunami just wiped out thousands and thousands of lives. And it wiped out this nuclear reactor as well. Marshall, when we talk about if that thing goes, what are we talking about? I mean, what event are we talking about, if that thing goes?
Well, if it goes, I mean, the estimates are, you know, they measure it in Chernobyls now.
Yeah, but so first I want to know what we mean by Chernobyl. If it goes.
You know, if it goes.
Yeah, well, what does that mean?
What we're looking at is the middle of Tokyo is, or Japan. That's gone. They're going to have huge, massive relocations.
Yeah, but Marshall, of people. Marshall, mm-hmm. What does it mean if it goes? What does that mean?
If it goes, what it means is that you have the spent fuel containment is above ground. And so if what is supporting it collapses, if the structure that is supporting this above ground containment fails, it'll come crashing down, at which point it'll split open, it'll leak out all the water that's necessary to keep the spent fuel rods cool, at which point they will just combust. And once that starts, it's like, you know, imagine you have a kitchen match, and when you strike that match, and when that sulfur is burning, I mean, it's burning. And, you know, after it burns out, then you can blow out the match. You're pretty easy. This is just going to be even worse. I mean, this is going to be like on the scale of phosphorus that they use in artillery rounds. That stuff just falls and it hits you and it starts burning. It's just going to keep burning. And when that happens, it's going to be a death blow for Japan as a nation. But then all, you know, we're all connected. It's not like it's just going to happen over there. We already know that there's radiation from this over here, and that it's going to come even more. Prevailing winds are going to pull it heavily into the Los Angeles area. So, I mean, the consequences for us are going to be profound. You know, you got to remember Chernobyl, you know, that radiation made its way all around the Northern Hemisphere. Same thing will happen here. You're going to have all this radiation and different kinds of radiation. And these guys have just got their heads buried in the sand. It's like the gang that couldn't shoot straight.
Well, it's not just these guys. Let me ask you a question. If this thing is as fragile as Dr. Michio Kaku has described, and I certainly would assume that if he says that it's just hanging by a fingernail, then it is just hanging by a fingernail.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, if that's the case, if he knows that, then you gotta know that all of the appropriate people in science and national security in Washington, D.C. know it. So let me ask you, wouldn't you think that Fukushima is a bit more of a national security issue than little old ladies in wheelchairs trying to go into the airport?
Huh. God. I mean, yeah. I think it is a real national security, and I think stripping grandmas is not going to make us any safer. This is just a case where, you know, think about it. All the money that we're dumping into the TSA. I mean, if they just simply said, you know, we're going to do something like the Israeli style of screening, which they do profile screening. And I took a trip to Israel. I was in Ben Gurion Airport, and I saw how they do security. It's very, very smart. I mean, they come down, they work the lines. They don't have all this electronic gear. They have people that just go down and ask questions. But when they're asking questions, they're looking you straight in the eye. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for nonverbal signals. Their their focus is not to assume everybody's a bad guy. Their focus is to find the bad guys, to profile the bad guys, and focus their attention on them. And so their security is vastly better than ours. I mean, we just keep always hearing these stories, you know, about stuff getting slipped through the TSA during these test screenings. And, you know, I think it's more a case the TSA is not so much about security, because when they do get lucky, it's dumb luck.
I think it's more a case of acclimating
the public to this kind of lack of privacy.
Yeah. But the point is that I'm trying to make is this is so obviously a national security issue, in fact, a global security issue. And here we are in this country focused on, strip searching a 7-month-old baby or our grandma. And, I mean, they're doing that. Okay, yeah. Now we could do a whole show about TSA if it was in our genre, but the point is we know they're doing that. What are the experts in this country doing about Fukushima? As far as I can see, nothing.
They're quietly pooping their pants. I mean, they're, you know, and amongst themselves, they're going, man, this is bad news, but this is, you know, this is about money, about power, about people wanting to either have control or they don't want to spend money on something. I mean, there's nothing here that says people are coming together and saying, this is about our planet. And it's kicked the buck down the road. Technically, though, I mean, they have a real nightmare. The radiation levels over there. There are so many places they can't get into. The radiation level would instantly kill a human being. But, on the other hand, you try and get robots in there, it'll fry the robots.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really no way for them to get in there and to do it. I think Michikaku was, you know, had it right the first time, right at the very beginning after this happened. And he said, hey, just bury it in an esophagus, just like, they did with Chernobyl. Bury it. And they're not burying it.
It may be too late to bury it.
It may be, yeah.
The fuel rods in Reactor 2 have liquefied.
Mm-hmm.
They've already liquefied. It's not fuel rods anymore. It's liquid.
That's right.
They're supposed to have 33 feet of water on top of these fuel rods.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 feet.
That's it.
And we understand if there's an earthquake, then whatever is the structure in which they're suspended, we'll say it collapses. And then it begins to combust. It's one thing for us to understand that all that radiation is now going fiercely into the air. Everyone in Canada and the United States of America understands that means it's coming here. Folks, that's what that means. The winds move this way from Japan. So it's coming here. So if that happens, what can we expect in terms of results? What will be the results of that happening?
Well, it's going to set off a storm of all kinds of things. We're going to have natural disasters. We're going to have crop failures. You're going to have wars resulting out of this. I mean, I could see where this definitely could set off a number of different wars.
How could it set off a war?
It could, because there's going to be so much destruction that's happening, and the Japanese have done such a horrible job of managing this. Now, I could see where somebody says, we're going to invade if for any reason, we're going to go fix up this mess. What happens if this blows and all of a sudden radiation starts heading into, you know, into China, into North Korea? And are we going to expect these countries to sit there and go, oh, well, gee, you know, luck of the draw? Or are they going to respond in some way? And then what does that set off?
Well, I don't know. We're sitting over here going, oh, gee, luck of the draw. We're doing that.
Well, that's what we're doing. But then again, that's us. All right. That's, there are different cultures. I mean, if North Korea is getting swamped in this stuff, Do you think the North Koreans are going to do nothing? If the North Koreans decide to bust a move, is China going to stand up with them, or is they're going to kick them to the curb? This could just set off a whole daisy chain of issues that we can't even foresee right now. The problem is that you get into these positive feedback loops where one thing exacerbates another and they start feeding on each other. All right? So you have, you know, they talk about global warming. Or climate change, whatever the new politically sensitive term is. But we already know we're losing the ice up in the north and the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
We know permafrost is melting. Ocean temperatures are changing. And this is part of changing atmosphere. It's getting warmer. The weather's getting a little crazier. What happens when that goes to the next stage and it starts releasing all of this methane that is either, you know, it's offshore in the continental shelf. You have methane under the tundra. If Siberia melts, that's it. It's game over. Methane is the global warming gas from hell. So we push it through incrementally with carbon, but if the carbon hits a certain point, then comes the methane release. And we're no longer having these conversations about, well, it's going to be 50 to 100 years. We're talking about 5 years, 5 months. You're talking about things that could turn on a dime. And climate history has ample examples where we have seen things change on a dime. To this day, one of the most profound experiences I ever had as a researcher, it was early on before I even took an interest in this, was I was in a museum in St. Petersburg, Russia, and they had a woolly mammoth that they had dug out of the tundra. And I'm sitting there looking at this animal, and just like you would be looking at it in a zoo, or, you know, I mean, it's like I'm waiting for the animatronics to kick in. But I'm sitting there and I'm reading the English version of the material, and this thing was found. It had actually fresh grass in its mouth. It was chewing when it froze to death. All right,
yeah,
so
that
told me, hey, this stuff can happen really, really fast. It can snap really fast. That's the problem people have, Kevin, with saying, okay, I don't want to listen to this because it's fear-mongering, because they're assuming that we live in.
Okay, we have to step away for a break, and we will be right back, folks. To the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Marshall Masters. Marshall, it's true. You were talking about how we're not having what I would call substantive conversations about things anymore, but we're really past a point where we need to have conversations. At this point on Fukushima, time for talk is gone. This has got to be fixed, and it's got to be fixed yesterday.
Yes.
Who's going to do it?
And it's got. This is at this point. You know, if we do the finger pointing, and that's what this is all. I mean, let's face it. You said, "Well, we're sitting here in the United States, and we're going, gee, dumb luck. Why are we doing that, United States, and going, gee, dumb luck?" Because the corporation that built this Fukushima place is reporting tens of billions of dollars, all right, in profits, is General Electric. They don't pay any taxes. They make huge amounts of profits. How come this company who made this reactor, why aren't they stepping up to the plate and saying, you know, we have some responsibility here, and come to the party with a little bit of cash and help out? How about the rest of the countries that could get slammed by this? I mean, this is a common sense thing. This is a save your own tookus kind of common sense.
If this, you know, we keep saying if this thing goes. The fact is, we really should be saying when it goes. It's going. It's going to go.
It's going. I mean, it's just like, look, we just had we had a series of magnitude 4 quakes, all right, that hit on the 20th. There were two of them hit offshore in the Japanese area. And what I'm hearing from sources is that the quake swarming, the microquake patterns that preceded the 9.0 that started this whole thing, those microquake patterns have resumed. So geologists, all right, I'm not talking about guys sitting running a web page on the internet. I'm talking about scientists in Japan are reporting that the forces are building up for another major shake. And what we need is something around a 7.0, and that's it. It's game over for this plant. It's game over for the Northern Hemisphere to a good extent. I mean, it's going to be just a horrific, horrific disaster. And yeah, and the more you dig into this thing, the more you're just stunned by the complete apathy and how easily it is. You know, like earlier before you said, well, the networks aren't reporting it because they're told it's stable. Well, you know, what I'd say about that was, you know, in my days when I was doing stuff with CNN, CNN, first off, at that time was a hard news network. Turner was running it. Now it's just kind of like Oprah with a different flavor. But back then it was hard news. Yeah. And they had a science department. I know, because that's who I worked for. I worked for the science department. I covered universities in Texas for them. And they would have been all over this story like white on rice. I mean, like white on rice. No question about it. They would have been beating the drum. Turner would have been beating the drum on this. All right. But, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, CNN, in all its wisdom, disbanded its science department.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a science department, then what happens? You're waiting for somebody else to tell you what to think.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why they're completely missing it. They're just going to be Johnny-come-lately on this thing when it does break, and then it's going to be the usual finger-pointing and... Yeah, it's all going to be the standard, you know, we're caught with our pants down nonsense. And that's what we're going to see when this happens. It'll be, oh my gosh, and this and that. And gee, how are we going to understand?
Well, let me tell you what I really get sick of.
And they're still not going to give anybody the right answers.
I really get sick of some big disaster happens. Or if it's not a disaster, it's we take some action in our foreign policy, and then there's a huge anti-reaction worldwide. Mm-hmm. And then some politician, usually extremely high ranking, sometimes sitting in the Oval Office, mm-hmm. gets on TV and says, nobody, you know, it's unfortunate, but nobody could have foreseen the outcome. When I know Joe Wino on the corner could foresee the outcome.
Right. Right.
And, you know, I mean, who do they think they're talking to? I mean, well, I know
they know exactly
they got elected by mushrooms,
and
they think they're talking to mushrooms.
Look, you know, the bottom line is the bull works because that's what the people want. The people really want to be told, don't worry about it. Go on with your life. Nothing to see here.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a, you know, it works because people want it to work. Mm-hmm. If there were enough people said we don't want it working this way, then it would change. But that's not the way it is. So, you know, what are people doing? They're going away from mainstream media. They go to YouTube. I mean, my YouTube channel, I have over 15 million views on my YouTube channel. And that amazes me. You know, just a guy, you know, working out of his office in his home. And I'm getting out there and I'm reaching people.
Okay, so we've got, you know, there are people that are not mushrooms. That's true. Mm-hmm. And there are every day, I think, a few mushrooms that get struck by
lightning
and they shiver to life and awareness, and they're joining the ranks of real people. But it's certainly not the majority. The majority are still very, very much a fungus. In the way they think. The majority, well, in the way they don't think. And the absolute inability to think. It's astounding. Now, that relates to this Fukushima thing. Look, if the Pacific Ocean dies, and I submit it probably is already well underway.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If it dies, that's going to be massive starvation all over this planet, including in the United States of America, because there's a huge amount of food that comes out of that Pacific Ocean.
That's right.
In addition to that, our weather comes from the Pacific to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So that means on the winds and in the clouds coming off of the Pacific, we're going to be having radiation.
Right.
And we're already seeing elevated levels of it now. Is that right?
That's right. I mean, there's already several cities that are testing. And, you know, I mean, what they do to get people off the dime and thinking it's okay is that they say, well, you know, you get as much radiation as a chest x-ray, or there's not enough there to make the Geiger counter go nuts. We can only measure it in small amounts and whatever. The point here is that it's the hot particles that are coming through. And so you have these radioactive pieces of dust. And these things, just when they get into your lungs, if you breathe them in, it's just a little nuclear hotspot sitting there in your lung with healthy cells surrounding it. So how long does it take before cancer starts?
Mm-hmm.
And I see the twisting, I see the propaganda, and the way it's, you know, way they're doing it. You have no idea of what they're doing other than everyone's trying to figure out how to get out of it on the cheap. And typical of what I see with the multinational corporations and the general philosophy of the West is that there's this notion that the Earth is just this inexhaustible biosphere that we can do anything we want to. It'll take a licking and keep on ticking. No. It will. We'll get a licking. It'll come back and swack us. And the Earth will be in the fossil record along with the dinos.
The Earth probably can take a licking and keep on ticking without us.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're not talking about... See, that's the whole point. It's this... It's like, you know, smoking cigarettes, and you want to quit smoking cigarettes, and the hard part is, yeah, I know, every time I smoke a cigarette, it's a cancer stick and a nail in a coffin and all that clever stuff, but you ignore it for the same reason that Polly tied to the tracks doesn't believe the train is coming down the tracks and then chopper in two.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted to have you with us. And my sympathy for whatever kept you away from the first hour. But we are discussing with Marshall Masters a very important topic, and that is this reactor at Fukushima in Japan. I guess now we can say former reactor. And this thing is basically, despite all efforts, cooking off radiation, spilling off radiation into the ocean. The radiation is flying through the air to Canada, to Alaska, to California and Oregon, and across then the United States. It's coming through the water. It is coming this way. Some has already arrived, more and a heavier concentration is coming. And folks, they're amazed that the debris that is washing ashore is arriving so soon. They didn't think it would be arriving as soon as it is. This is a very serious situation. And how does this fit our genre? Well, it fits our genre because this is going to take futuristic science to fix it. And somebody had better get off their dead butt and get it done. Because if they don't, there are going to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions, severely affected by this radiation. Marshall, I said at the top of the show that I wanted to take up a subject with you. It does, in a way, fit with the Fukushima reactor report mm-hmm. that we've been doing.
Right.
And that is that a new Mayan calendar, well, it's not new, it's an older Mayan calendar, but newly discovered in South America, according to reports, indicates that time does not stop on December the 21st, 2012, but it continues on. Now, that's what the reports say, and you've done lots of videos, and you've written a lot about 2012 and what's coming and what you think we have to be ready for. So I want to know from you, how does this new discovery impact what you have written?
Well, it doesn't impact anything. You know, I found this article, and I just want to quote one line from this, because this archaeologist who is really beating his chest about this, and he says, and this is in quotation, "The Mayan calendar is going to keep going for billions, trillions, octillions of years into the future." Now, let's just leave that standing off to one side. Off to the other side, how old is the universe?
Well, I think the estimate now is something around 16, maybe 17 billion years old.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you hear it, it's about 14.6 billion years old.
Yeah, okay.
All right, but also there's other estimates. You know, let's just be generous and give it a huge 15% plus or minus. But take and put that in concept. You know, you have someone who's making this absolutist claim, and he's saying it's going to exist in octillions of years. I mean, it's beyond trillions. It's more zeros than I can wrap my head around. And you know, the universe hasn't been around for octillions of years, nor has it been around for trillions of years. So you get these statements like this coming from an archaeologist, and it's all about, you know, blowing people's minds with nonsense propaganda. I see something like this, you know, it is someone just trying to be clever and blow it off and say, ah, the Mayan calendar is nothing. Yeah. The other, you see it also where they're going to diminish other things. They say, ah, there's roughly as many earthquakes now as there ever were. We're just measuring them more accurately because we have more stations. All right. Well, above a 6.0, you just need one station for the planet. So it's all of the microquakes, the smaller quakes, that they're able to measure more accurately now, which is important. But it's these misstatements, these twists. Or here's my all-time favorite. I saw this one on space.com last month, and it's typical of this propaganda nonsense that they use to trivialize the topics. And it said, oh, everybody on the internet is saying Planet X is going to hit the Earth. No, I know what people are saying on the internet. And the only ones that are saying Planet X is going to hit the Earth are propagandists and disinformationalists. Anybody that's writing about it intelligently, or even trying to be intelligent about it, they understand it's not going to hit the Earth, that there's going to be other things that are going to happen. But this is the kind of nonsense. And when they're doing these stunts like this, these billions and trillions and octillions of years, this guy's like a Carl Sagan wannabe. But when they're doing this kind of trivialization nonsense, they're not targeting it to people who are seriously studying the topic, because people who are really into it and have done some time, done some reading, know that's just bull, period. That's nonsense. The ones that they're really targeting are people who are just now coming into awareness and going, hey, what's all this about? And so, you know, it sounds, Planet X is supposed to hit us. Oh, well, or, hey, the Mayan calendar is going to last for octillions of years. Could somebody please sit down and write out one octillion for me? I'd like to see that.
Well, plus, I mean, the estimates by astronomers and astrophysicists are that perhaps with some estimates, is perhaps about 5 billion years from now, our sun will be done.
Yeah, that's it. You know, stick a fork in us. Mm-hmm. And so our sun's not going to be around for octillions of years. We're not going to be around. Nostradamus even said, was it about 1,700 years? That's it. Arrivederci Roma for us. But, you know, so you get these exaggerated statements, and that's part of this dismissive propaganda. You know, it's again, you know, get people back into stupid mode so that they can keep going on. Mm-hmm. And it works because the people want it to work. You know, well, it's placebo effect gone awry.
You know, there's a difference between a prophet and a soothsayer. And there's a difference between a medium and a soothsayer. A soothsayer is actually a soothsayer. Mm-hmm. And this is someone who purports to look into your future and tell you soothing things and make you feel good. Soothsayers, that was a big, big business back when you had monarchs everywhere. You had to tell him good stuff, because if you didn't tell him good stuff, then, you know, you could be thrown in the dungeon, you could be executed. So you tell him good stuff.
Yeah, and, that's it.
You know, and you tell him, yeah, you're going to win that battle. It's going to be, and then while he's off at battle, you know, what you need to do at that point is illegal immigration.
Yeah.
Get the heck out of Dodge.
That's it, you know, grab the kids, grab the wife, you know, get a boat and make like a tree and leave.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that kind of stuff that goes on. You have soothsaying.
Well, yeah,
you know,
and those days, that's what people
today
want.
It's more about just simply whatever the corporate interests are. and that's it. The reporting, there's no real sense of responsibility. Everything is about escaping culpability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about not get left, you know, you don't want to, you know you're making the mess. You just don't want to be the one left holding the bag. And that is this culture that's there, that's doing this. And so as a catastrophism researcher, I'm seeing this culture of cover your own butt, you don't care what happens to anybody else, with what could be the most, well, what already is, frankly, the worst man-made disaster in the history of the world. I think this, what's happening in Japan now, it's just going to be the worst. But I have a video up called Two Suns in the Sky, December 21, 2012. And what I'm saying in there is that this Avebury 2008 formation, I documented, spent a long time doing it. I call it a star map of doom. It just says, here's this object, and here's exactly where you're going to see it, when you're going to see it, where you're going to see it, and what it's going to do. All right? And I'm looking at that, and I know that if we don't have anything happens between now and December 21, 2012, and actually, Abe Berry says it's going to happen in the early part of December, not on that date. For the Mayans, I see the same thing in ancient indigenous cultures, where they have calendars and they have folklore, and they are looking for specific celestial alignments. The Hopis are looking for a particular kind of double retrograde of Venus, all right, and which will happen this year. And for countless generations, each year they have built these secret huts and with viewing ports in them, and that they're looking to a very specific part of the sky in the area of Fucus, the 13th constellation.
All right, let me ask you a question.
And this one pops in, and so with the Mayans, they were talking about this date. The thing about the Mayan calendar is that when it does flip over, it's not a painless flip.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. That's just a fact of history. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people are revisionist. I think the modern-day Mayans are, what they're deathly afraid of is they say, what happens if nothing happens on December 21, 2012? We don't want to be left holding the bag, so they're preemptively saying, no, all of the doomsayer stuff is doomsayer stuff, and trust us, on December 21, 2012, we're all going to wake up and want to buy the world a Coke.
Yeah. All right, we need to go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
This is This may be the most important topic you've had all year, Kevin, and every night has been very important. This may be the most important of all. And Mr. Masters Marshall, I'm a big fan of yours. I am an owner of and a reader of the Colburn Bible, and I thank you for making that available to us.
Well, thank you. You made my evening.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, what I'm about to say probably won't make your evening. It runs in line with everything you've been saying, but I got to carry this even further. If that containment vessel at Fukushima breaks, if it goes, and of course we know that Japan is part of the Ring of Fire, so it's very susceptible to not just little tremors, but major earthquakes. When these things go, it's going to create something like, what, 180 Fukushimas? It's just unbelievable the havoc that this is going to create. And we're not just talking about a dead Pacific Ocean. We're talking about a dead Northern Hemisphere all the way down to the bacteria level. You know, and the Northern Hemisphere will probably not be inhabitable by humans for hundreds of years. You know, this is... I mean, it's going to be an extinction-level event for the Northern Hemisphere. Already, there's something like, 280 employees of Alaska Airlines have filed formal complaints that their skin's breaking out in lesions, their hair's falling out, they itch all the time, because they're flying up in the jet stream in the upper atmosphere here in the northern hemisphere, and they're getting exposed to all this radiation.
That's right.
Walruses, ice seals, and polar bears are losing their hair. They're getting lesions on their skin up around the Arctic Circle. This is already having some pretty heavy effects on life forms, and if this thing goes, you can forget it. There won't be wars. We won't be worried about climate change. You know, I mean, it's over. It's just over if this happens, all the way down to a bacterial level in the soil. Trees dead, small animals dead, amoeba dead, everything's gone in the northern hemisphere.
Yeah, and I mean, it's, you know, we have a situation where, all right, first off, I mean, people, they're saying fuel rods. Well, there's over 1,500 fuel assemblies in the pool of Reactor 4, okay? Over 1,500 fuel assemblies. That's a heck of a lot of waste fuel. But right now, and we talked about it earlier, but already, and this has been publicly stated, you know, experts in Japan are saying there's a 90% probability of at least another 7.0 within the next 2 to 3 years happening close to where this plant is. And that there's absolutely no quake. I don't think there's any structure in that plant that could stand through a quake of that, period. I don't care what it is. And so what you're talking about and the threat you're talking about, you're not understating the threat. It's a threat that is just so horrific. It is so horrific that it boggles the mind. People just can't wrap their head around it.
Now, while we're on the subject of culpability and people trying to wash their hands of this, Fukushima was designed by GE.
Mm-hmm.
And GE's CEO, George Imelt, you know, we know where his office is. His office is in the White House. Do you think these people are ignorant of this? They're not ignorant of this. They know exactly what's going on. They know the risk, and they're doing nothing about it. This is criminal. This is criminal negligence. And I don't know. I'm a couple of steps maybe above Joe Wino, Kevin, out on the corner. You said even he knows. You know, I'm not a nuclear scientist. You know, I don't have credentials around this stuff, but I'm awake and I read. I know how to research. And Kevin, we're looking down the barrel of a loaded gun here, and it has every one of us in our crosshairs. And Mr. Masters, thank you for presenting this to us. And Kevin, thank you for having Mr. Masters on. And I'll get off the air and let others call in.
Thank you for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And if you are in the USA or Canada, that is the number to call. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you want to join the conversation, that's how you do it. You give us a telephone call. 623-444-5889. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, then the way to get in touch with us is either call us at that number, or you can use an additional option we have for you, and that is the flash message option. Go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture is a link that says flash message. If you click that picture, it will take you to a website that Marshall has about the two suns. Okay, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Hello, Brent.
Marshall, I think you're going to agree with this. I think you will too, Kevin.
Okay?
They wanted to depopulate the planet. Good job.
Yeah.
That'll do it.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
I hope that'll your December 22nd, December 21st party is still on. I won't make it, but hope you can make it there.
Well, I'll tell you something. When I was overseas working as an international police officer, there's very often not much to do in terms of entertainment because you're working in war zones. And, I mean, it's not like there's a bowling alley on every corner. It's not like there are cinemas to go to, you know. And so just to sort of keep up my morale and others around me, I hung signs up around headquarters that said, put a party in your shoes and let the good times roll. So it may be that, I mean, that party's going to happen. It may be a party in my shoes. You know, we may be too busy trying to survive, but I'm going to have a party on December the 21st, 2012. I'm going to celebrate the coming of December the 22nd, 2012, and I do think that I'll be able to have a party somewhere, and I'll hope that some of you can come to it, and we'll start putting out some details about that pretty soon. It will not be in Bangkok. It will not be in Thailand. I had hoped we could do it there. It's not going to be possible. But we are going to have a party, and if we, you know, shoot, if we have to be in survival mode, we'll survive together. We'll have a survival party. Yeah. All right, Brent, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Brent.
We have a flash message here from Carl in Australia, and Carl says, hi, Kevin and Marshall. This is Carl on Molloy Island in Australia. I used to be in Perth. It's great to hear your show again, Kevin. Last year, when a large volcano erupted in South America, we had awesome sunsets in southern Australia a few days later. If the ash had been radioactive, it would have been less fun. Not a butterfly effect, but a butterfly apocalypse seems to be brewing. Regards, Carl. Yeah, I think you're right.
Very well put.
Very well put. Very Thank well you, put. Carl.
You know, it's the thing that... It's not that I'm sitting here and I just want to, you know, keep sounding the alarm like some yutz that's got one foot nailed to the floor and he's swinging around and keeps seeing the same scenery. You know, this is really something where there's... Let's be honest. There was more political pressure on the Soviet Union to clean up and deal with Chernobyl than there is on this. And this is, by magnitude, makes Chernobyl look like a walk in the park.
You're absolutely right. Caller, we have to step away for break. Are you willing to hang on through the break?
Sure, Kev.
All right, you hang in there. We'll get to you in just a moment. We shall return, folks, right after this.
And you are smart because you are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
All right, welcome back to The Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Marshall Masters. Let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi. I'd like to, you know, make a comment up first is that these nuclear plants are not safe. You know, why they would build, you know, three of them right along, you know, a fault line in Japan And we also have several in California along a fault line. And also the one we have here in Ohio up on Lake Erie, that had to be totally rebuilt. It had acid burn holes in the top of it leaking. I just wondered if you guys knew that the one in Moscow, they have cameras in it, and they also found that black mold growing on the inside of it. If you knew anything about that?
I don't.
No, not that one. I've been following Japan, but although there's a lot more awareness about what's happening with, you know, nuclear power around the world, and people are focusing. I'm glad to see you're looking and you're focusing on the other threats. You know, this is something where, what's it going to take before they admit, all right, we need to back out of this. This is a mistake. And,
yeah.
You know, when are they going to just have come out and just tell people we're dealing with this crisis instead of, you know, letting them become irradiated? I mean, this takes me right back to the Gulf, all right, during the BP oil spill. And what we saw was a real-time propaganda whitewash orchestrated between the White House and British Petroleum. You know, every night you see CNN and the rest of them going on, and what are their reporters are saying? We can't get access to public beaches because corporate goons with federal authority are saying we can't go there and we can't take, you know, we can't shoot. So there was this real-time propaganda whitewash that's already been done. And, you know, frankly, guys, that's what I'm seeing here, is it's the same BP real-time propaganda whitewash, keeping it buried away. You know, it was after the, in 2008, and the whole thing went south, and people were furious with the banks, and there was a real movement afoot for genuine regulation. You know, what does Obama do? Calls all the bankers into his office, in the Oval Office, and says, hey, I'm standing between you and the pitchforks. And at that point, they get a free ride, and he gets his brownie points, which was utter, you know, this is this kind of insane thinking that these power games, that these people are in bubbles and they don't really look outside the bubbles. They can't see the world other than what they want to exploit. And there's no more statesmanship. There's nobody saying we really have to deal with this because it's the right thing to do. They're going to try, you know, it's the old thing that reminds me of Churchill said of America. You know, we eventually do the right thing after trying everything that's wrong. And it's playing out here, except this is a situation where we don't have the luxury of doing it on the cheap and trying every stupid stunt, because when it does fail catastrophically, that's it. Game over.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the thing. That's the thing. I just wish there were. I love hearing this caller, and you're out there and you're following this stuff. I just wish there was an army of you out there.
Yeah, me too. You know, it surprises me, though, that we dropped two atomic bombs on Japan, you know, and, you know, and these nuclear plants, you know, are, you know, even worse, you know, is surprising. And if it wasn't for them calling the United States in, you know, to help them, it could have been worse.
I don't know how much, you know, I don't know how much better it could have been. But, I mean, you know, one thing, I got to throw a question out to the caller and to Kevin. you know, just this question just popped in my mind. I mean, for those of us that, boomers like myself, Japan for decades has always been the poor country that got nuked. All right. Which was, to me, always kind of, well, the fact was Japan was the first country during World War II to use a weapon of mass destruction. Right? And so they were doing biological attacks in China and dropping these infected lice in these specially crafted ceramic jars on cities, and just to see how many people they could kill in the tens of thousands. So they were the first ones to use weapons of mass destruction. They've had decades of being the victims of weapons of mass destruction. Is that why maybe they're getting a pass now, that the scrutiny that was the Soviet Union was put under for Chernobyl, they're not feeling the weight because everyone is still thinking, oh, poor Hiroshima and Nagasaki? It's a brutal question, but I got to ask. What do you guys think?
Well, yeah. I think it's possible. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's all I have. Thanks, Kev.
Okay, Terry. Yeah, I think it's possible. It's all that political correctness stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi, Mr. Masters.
Hi, Jerome.
My question to you is the United States more at risk with the radiation coming from the east going over to our western coast, or is China and Central Asia at risk also?
Well, it's the other way. It's coming from our west coast headed east.
Yeah. It's coming east from Japan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it'll hit our west coast first.
That's correct. But right below Japan, you got China and Central Asia, if my geography's straight.
That's right. What happens if the winds carry it that way? Now, it's really going to be who gets it first, but in the end, everyone's going to get it last. So it really doesn't matter who gets it first. If it gets to the point where somebody's really going to get nailed big time first, then, if there's this big radiological cloud heading towards Southern California on prevailing winds, whack. And it's just, we can say, oh, gee, poor Southern California. But as Southern California goes, so goes the rest of the nation. I mean, these jet streams just simply are, they're carrying it. And there's four major cities. And you have West Coast cities, but you also have cities inland that are showing samples, like in Denver. So it just depends on where the winds are carrying it and how the event unfolds. But still the same, once it's up in the air, everyone's affected. I think the caller that called in earlier and, saying, wow, this could take us down to a dead hemisphere. That's a possibility I would hate to consider. But I still see that it's going to cause a lot of problems. It's already causing problems. The question is, how much is much? How much before people turn off Dancing with the Stars and start demanding action? And then by the time they're doing that, how late is late?
We may be too late now.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
I understand the seriousness of this on the whole situation. I was trying to localize it as being, since you mentioned about the World War II atrocities, which the Japanese first committed against the Chinese, I can see China becoming much more influential in that sphere, especially since they have conflicts over those Spartan Islands and Taiwan and stuff.
That's right. I mean, there's no way once this breaks loose, all right, how everything unfolds after that, it's all going to be uncharted territory in many different respects, all right? So we don't know how that plays out. All I can do is look at this with tremendous concern. There's no question in the minds of, we're talking the scientists in Japan themselves at high levels in their reporting. They're saying we have 90% chance of 7.0 in the next 2 to 3 years, and it's going to be near Fukushima. And they're saying that is going to happen. I have a video that is essentially saying, look, in December of this year, we're going to have a solar storm as a result of this object flying by. That solar storm is going to be incredibly devastating, but on top of that, it is going to trigger seismicity and volcanism on a massive scale worldwide. And so you would have Fukushima being taken out by this event that I'm showing in my video. And yes, it is a prediction based on a crop circle I have studied for years, and which was about the size of 4 soccer fields, and there was a lot of attempt to obfuscate and dismiss it, but it's authentic, and everyone that researched it has said it is authentic, and I document that in my book. But again, it's a prediction. So the thing about predictions, you keep them in mind, but you don't live in expectation of them. What we're seeing in Japan is it's gone beyond prediction. It's the early stages of this disaster. All right, it's like the water is starting to just now come, it's starting to flood the forward compartments, and waiting for it to start lurching over the baffles. And at that point, then, or the bulkheads, and that's it, you nose in. And where do we hit that point? Where do we hit that tipping point? And right now, I see this incredible threat in Japan. And on the other hand, I just see the world whistling in the dark. I see incredible corrupt ineptness in the Japanese government, in TEPCO. I see the rest of the world sitting there going, gee, that's awful. What can we do? Let's study it. There's not this global consensus that this is something
we'll study it later when we come back from this break. We have to step away. We'll be back, folks, more with Marshall Masters right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Marshall Masters. Marshall, we've got a caller on hold called during the break, so let's go to the telephone.
All right.
And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hi.
Hello, John.
Hi, Marshall.
Hey.
I just want to say, Marshall, as bad as you make things sound, I think you're being mild.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm serious. Thank you. It's just, it's like, okay, I didn't go over the top tonight. Good.
Yeah. Well, I think we're in a position that might have happened once before, in as far as my understanding of the history of the Earth, and that's when microbes produced oxygen as a waste material, and they were faced with their own waste product, and learned how to use oxygen, and then created a whole new system, which is what we're based on. It was a result of them learning how to use their own waste products. So I think we're faced with a similar situation. We got enough waste products now that will likely kill us if we don't learn how to use our own waste products to actually survive on.
Yeah, I mean, you talk to recycling experts, and they're saying the gold mines of the future are all these city dumps that have been covered over. They want to dig them up for all the steel and plastics and recycle it. Which is, you know, that's a good story. On the other side, we have the bad story. And, you know, we have crop fields that are saturated with petroleum fertilizers and pesticides that, you know, and then they switch it over to organic. And they're saying they're growing it organic in fields that are absolutely toxic wastelands. But they can put organic on the label, and we deal with this. Still the same, though. I mean, I think the one thing that I would hope comes out of this is that people just start demanding answers, demanding action, getting out there and getting mobilized. And just saying, hey, this mess in Japan has got to be cleaned up. This has got to become the most important thing, period, in the Northern Hemisphere. That's it. Everything else, and it is one of those things that everybody's just got to sit down with a checkbook and bite their lip and write the check and get this thing contained, get it cleaned up. You know, Michio Kaku said right from the beginning, he said, man, just bury it. And, you know, why is it that they haven't, you know, built a large moat around this place and then just filled the moat with water? I mean, something, get some ideas going, get some action going instead of just trying to Band-Aid the thing and literally lurching from one day to the next and doing it on the cheap. That's, you know, that's what Arne Gunderson is saying. And for those of you out there, you've heard this tonight for the first time and you're thinking, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe Marshall's over the top, all right? Although I got one guy out there who says I wasn't tonight. Oh, that's good. That's a good night. You want to go check out a site called Fairwinds, F-A-I-R-E, Winds, W-I-N-D-S. And they'll have a whole slew of videos. This is hard science analysis. This is a guy who really understands all of this technology, and he's reporting it. And, you know, he's really doing his level best to try and not come off like a fearmonger, but the more he explains this, the more it just sinks in and you start going, my God. And he's really highlighting the incompetence that is surrounded this whole thing, the corruption and the incompetence. That TEPCO, this company, is not qualified to run a nuclear generator, but I mean, this is not a generating plant. This is a toxic waste dump, and it's active, and it's getting ready to blow. This is where TEPCO needs to be, hey, guys, you made your mess. Get aside. We're going to come in with an army of people, and we're going to get this dealt with, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs, how much ever, it doesn't matter. This has to be contained. And that is the real problem, is this doing it on the cheap nonsense that's going on. That is the huge threat in my mind right now. Because if this mentality of doing it on the cheap is going to prevail, we are going to really be facing a very, very terrible thing.
All right, we're going to take our last call. And caller, your first name and from where you're calling. You have to make it real fast.
All right, Kevin, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello,
hey, Rusty.
Hello, Marshall. Several times tonight you talked about burying it. Well, doesn't that just put it down into the water table quicker?
Well, this is a mess any which way you go with it. I mean, you already have fuel that is in the process of, you know, melting through concrete floor very slowly, although they believe at this point it'll stabilize and won't melt any further down. But the point here is that whatever they do, there's not going to be a clean solution. But on the other hand, a half-assed solution isn't going to work either, and that's what they're doing. And that's the thing that we really, all of us really need to just get up and start demanding that this really gets proper attention. And that's what's really necessary, is a public outcry to say, what in the heck are you people really going to do about this? Instead of this, let's all sit back and give them room so that they can work it out. And then when things develop, we'll report it. And it's this passive, you know, pull back nonsense, because people don't want to get committed. They don't want to get into it. They don't want to make a solution.
Yeah. It's kind of like that song we played, "To Hell with Tomorrow, I'm Too Tired to Fight It."
Yeah. Yeah, that is exactly it. I mean, I've been called a doomsayer or whatever. All I'm trying to say to people is here is a threat out there. And you need to be aware of it, and you need to decide what you're going to do about it, instead of just waiting for it one day to either pop up in your face or not.
All right. Marshall, I want to thank you for being with us this evening. We're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. Marshall Masters. And Marshall, if you will, just stay on the line with me for a moment. If you go to my website and scroll down, see the picture about tonight's show, you can click that picture and it'll take you to the website he mentioned about the two sons. And so you want to be sure you check that out. Well, folks, that's going to do it for this evening. I want to encourage you again, if you're not already a member, we need you to be a member, and you will wonder, once you're a member, you will wonder why it took you so long to get in on something so good, and I'm not kidding. It's only $7.50 a month. Probably won't mean anything to you, but that $7.50 a month could mean the difference in whether we get to keep broadcasting or not. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.